past is definitely not prologue in this story. Against the perception of its decline, Baltimore, at least a major part of it, is striding into something like a boom. A broom factory, a can company, a grain elevator, a sand and gravel company, even a horseradish maker are giving way to waterside condos and apartments. People are actually living in the workplaces of the past. The change, says Jay Brody, is profound.
It's the recreation of the traditional downtown into a residential neighborhood.
You can see it every morning, he says, on jammed MART trains from Baltimore to Washington, or on the light rail platforms with passengers headed for Hunt Valley. City dwellers are leaving their downtown residences for work outside the city. The instant urban neighborhood called Harbor East might be Exhibit A.
If you hadn't been to Baltimore for 20 years and you came, this is sort of a mirage.
It's not a mirage. From an industrial or port or office center, Baltimore reintroduces itself now as a magnet for baby boomers and empty nesters to cost-conscious, green-leaning millennials. Many other surprising moments are there beyond Inner Harbor East for the newcomer or the native returned. What you see here reflects the new and very un-Baltimore interest in waterside living and design. He points at one of the new condo and apartment projects.
This isn't the old Baltimore brick box. This is a combination of brick and metal panels and a lot of glass.
Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake says the new city attracts new residents because it's safer.
You know, it creates a buzz, and those, you know, those late teens and 20-somethings eventually, start getting jobs and start getting families, and they want to remain cool, so they want to remain in cool, vibrant areas. And you can see in different pockets all throughout the city that there's this renewed vitality.
28-year-old Carly Page would be an almost perfect example of the new city lover. Carless and partial to bikes, the Galway, New York native finished her Ph.D. at the University of Maryland recently and moved on to work at Johns Hopkins. She and her friends are developing deep loyalty to city life.
I mean, I know a couple of people who were looking for new jobs and refused to find jobs that you had to commute outside of the city for.
Development in Baltimore is trying to keep pace. Canton, Brody says, is an example. It might not have converted as quickly to the new economy, but for some un-Baltimore-like risk-taking. The Baltimore banker and businessman Ed Hale threw up an imposing office building off Boston Street that some thought of as an ego boost, turned out to be a turning point. Canton Crossing, which opened recently to drum rolls, makes Brody's point about Baltimore's market and its appetite for business risk. Only a few years ago, this project would have seemed too bold a venture. Carly Page and her friends have elevated it to can't-miss status. Brody says the numbers, the size of the market, built caution into the equation historically. But developers didn't miss the change.
If they didn't look north and see Brewers Hill with housing and office space renovated, all the renovated row houses in Canton, and said there's a customer base here.
It doesn't take a crystal ball or vision to see what's happening, he says. The new has merged with the old seamlessly, except for some of the old signage saved on purpose. Neil Tucker is one of the Canton Crossing developers.
Right now, we are in an incredible cycle. We are really enthused about the future.
Betting on that, big box stores look at Baltimore now and see a stable market, says Rawlings Blake. Years of recruiting these stores, largely in vain, has led to a moment when these companies are competing for the best locations in some parts of the city. It's a big change, Brody says. Until recently, development was agonizingly slow.
The perplexity of Baltimore is that in some other cities, you would say, there will be ripples of investment by the private sector as a result of the forces now kind of set into motion.
But that doesn't happen in Baltimore, with very rare exceptions. Same thing would be Union Square, not from far from here, which the square itself and the houses around it have been beautifully restored by a whole variety of people. And you don't see the waves coming that of reinvestment.
Until now, again, Baltimore businesses and institutions have been slow to see potential around them, he says, but there are exceptions. Mercy Hospital, for example.
They could have been out with some other Catholic institutions or housing for assisted people in Baltimore County. They had the land, and they chose to stay here, and they've developed a terrific niche of downtown doctors, as they call it.
The development process demands patience, but particularly in Baltimore. Brody says he predicted the water-driven boom along Boston Street 15 years ago. People laughed. We drive by the Anchorage along an expanse of Boston Street he had in mind when he made his prediction. Local interests finally took his advice.
This went through several developers, and these were sold for $75,000.
Now, he says, they're worth upwards of $500,000. While the pace of development has finally quickened, Brody says the city must make a major new effort to bring less prosperous parts of the city into the game. I'm Fraser Smith reporting for 88.1 WYPR.
It's so nice to live here. I'm glad this is my home. I've got a homestead on Baltimore Street. It's someplace to call my own. It's all kinds of people, familiar places, smiling faces. I'm proud to say I'm a Baltimore.